Speaking of the topic we're gonna get into today, which is planning the day.
Planning, scheduling, sticking to routine, being a functioning adult.
Yeah, so I'm curious to hear your take on this because I'm pretty sure we're opposites, which in my case is I don't have that much structure. I'm very flexible and but I can still get stuff done. And I feel like some people, if they don't have a schedule or routine planned out, especially being an independent animator or working freelance, then they don't have a structure, so they just kind of don't do anything.
Kinda,
You know,
yeah.
go play a game or go listen to some music, go for a walk, go to the movies, and not actually get any work done. But that's not a problem for me. So I think the way we plan our days is pretty different.
So you have no problem delaying gratification?
No, not really.
Whoa, that's crazy. And you're a millennial too. We're meant to suck at that.
We're kind of on the tail end of that, though.
Yeah, I guess, but still. So it's just something you've never had to deal with, or did you train yourself to be this way? How can we learn?
So my day as an independent animator, what does that look like? So I usually plan out each day at once at a time. I don't look too far in the future. If I did that, there's so many wrenches in like get thrown in that even if I tried to plan out that far in advance, it would never work out. So one day at a time, usually the night before, I'm thinking about, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow?
But you still do sort of plan that day, because you were just saying before that you kind of wing it.
Yeah, but that's not like having a schedule with saying, okay, this and this and this is going to get done this month and blah, blah, blah. That would never work out for me.
Right.
But yeah, no, I have a general idea of what I'm going to work on the next day, or if I'm not going to work at all. That's another thing is sometimes you choose to not work. It doesn't happen. Has not been that common for me lately, but that is also part of the routine is planning. Okay, well, when am I not going to work?
And is planning that just like a mental note, or do you write it down?
Oh, it's a mental note for me. What I do have written down, and I have it right in front of me, it's in front of me at all times. It's just a little notepad or a little sticky note that has a list of each item that needs to get done. So, like right now, it's got a Dungeons and Dragons animated intro, art for my friend Felix, multi-animator project announcement. I have that written up. I need to record it, edit a stream, go to the dentist. That's been on the list for like 3 months now. It'll happen eventually, you know.
Okay.
So it just a short list of the main things that I want to get done, and as they get done, I cross them off. And once the list is kind of sloppy because I end up writing in the margins and everything, then I rewrite it fresh with the things that were still on it that need to be done.
So it's not necessarily just that day's schedule, the thing that you wrote the night before. It's just the high priority stuff.
Yeah, so I just have written on this list, it's all of the priority stuff, basically. And what happens is I pick one of those each night that I have an idea in my head. Okay, tomorrow morning when I get up, I'm gonna do eat my breakfast. I have the same routine every morning. Get up, eat breakfast, and then sit down, turn the computer on, and start doing whatever the thing is for the day.
Okay, so that mental note is usually like just the one big task for the day. You don't try and list them all out in your head, all the little things.
If there's a bunch of little commissions, like if I have commissions for still artwork, I'll usually do 2 to 3 of those in one day. And I'll say, okay, today is going to be little commission day. Or sometimes I'll break it up and say, oh, if I have a big animation I'm working on, I will space it out with little commissions in between because I find if I work on the same project for too long, it gets draining. So being able to switch gears or to take a break with a different project is helpful.
That morning routine sounds important as well, that you're like, I make sure I keep to that every day. What happens if you don't?
To be honest, I don't really know because it's been the same forever.
Wow.
For as long as I can think, since I went to school, you get up, you eat something, and then you go to the thing, or you get in your car and you go to work. So as long as I can remember, it's always been like that.
Because I think that's something that a lot of people that work from home struggle with the most is just not sleeping in.
Oh, well, that's the funny thing is, so I didn't say what time I get up.
Right. I see.
I don't set an alarm. Lately, I've been thinking about how to maybe try something different. Because what will happen is, I do this sort of on-off thing where I'll get up at 8 or 8:30, and then the next day it'll be 9 or 9:30. And if I'm not feeling well, if I'm sick, for example, it might even be 10 or 10:30. Or if I didn't sleep well the night before. But I don't set an alarm. I kind of let whatever is going to happen, happen. But it doesn't matter what time I get up. I get up, I get dressed, I eat breakfast, and I sit down and work on the thing. And then there's a break around noon for lunch, and then it's back to work until it's time to make dinner. So it is a very specific schedule.
Yeah, I think the whole waking up and getting up thing is something that a lot of people struggle with. I know that I need not necessarily an alarm to wake up, but I need one to get up. Something that's in another room.
That actually might work because I do the same thing. I'll wake up. But because you know that the next thing on your list is work, you have a tendency to just, you know, especially during the winter when it's nice and cozy, just lay there for another 30 minutes. I think, you know, in reality, it's not really harming anything. It's just 30 minutes. But think of all how much that adds up over time.
It's why I don't mind work dreams nowadays, because it means I wake up with it already on my mind and ready to go. Because it's the shifting gears thing that's the problem. So if the dream world is something completely irrelevant and it's like, oh, now I need to start thinking about the task, I don't want to change what I'm thinking about. That seems to be the story of my life, is that my brain is immensely stubborn and only wants to stay thinking about the current thing, which is why checking anything internet-wise before getting up is the worst decision that I could make on any given day.
Now that you mentioned the checking the internet thing, I usually, when I sit down, I don't get started right away. I go through and check my messages. I don't think that's a good idea. I wouldn't recommend it, because what happens is you'll have emails from prospective clients, and then you'll be thinking about that and like trying to put up quotes and prices and blah, blah, blah. So if you could avoid that and just start working, and then maybe around noon, check your messages.
Still, checking that kind of thing, that's still better and at least somewhat productive than just checking any sort of social media or whatever.
Yeah, well, I have a bad habit of constantly checking Twitter specifically. I mean, it's designed to make you do that. I've trying to wean myself off of it, but it's kind of difficult because I'll do it without thinking. I'll just open a tab and click and open it up. Yeah, so I don't really plan a big weeks at a time. If I try to do that, things get thrown off. And I also usually plan too much every day. Sometimes, most of the times, things don't get finished as soon as I think they will.
Oh, that's the worst. That happens every day.
It happens every single day.
I don't know if I've ever finished like that day's amount of things. And actually, no, it has happened a couple of times, and it feels really weird and wrong.
Really?
It's like, oh, there's still several hours left of the day. I finished everything. What do I do now? Because
I feel great when that happens. Like, when I get everything done, that's, yeah, it usually means a really long work day.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It's a good feeling, but it happens so rarely that it's still a wrong feeling. Because, you know, I was saying before about shifting gears is the main problem. If I've managed to have a really productive day, my head is in the game, getting stuff done. So when that's finished, it's like, oh, well, I'm having a good flow state thinking about work stuff. Let's keep doing that. So then usually I'll end up overexerting myself, and then the next day will just suck.
It's really interesting because I get the same thing. You'll have days where it's really easy to get started, and you'll also have days where it just is a drag and you have to force yourself to draw, which that's part of the job. That's, you know, part of the territory. But yeah, I do find when I'm in the zone, I'll just go and I'll work for 12 hours, 10 hours a day.
Yeah, I'm struggling to find those days currently, like since being at home again. Maybe it's because I have a standing desk and standing for 12 hours is harder than sitting for 12.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah, contributing to it, no doubt. I couldn't stand there for that long. I usually try to go out for a walk or walk on the treadmill around lunchtime, anything to get up. But if I'm really in the zone, I won't do it. I don't think zone days are very healthy days, to be honest.
Because hypothetically, how good would it be to have, you know, 3 16-hour days in a row and then just be like, well, I've done the equivalent of a full-time week, bye, and then have a four-day weekend.
Right. I was going to say, though, but you mentioned it before. If you do have a day that's really productive, usually the day afterward is tough.
Yeah, stupid brain.
Because I know all of us who are independent, just who work on, if you work on your own time Anybody listening, you all know that. You think, well, if I could just sit and work for 3 days in a row for 16 hours a day, this would be done, and then I could goof off for the next 2 days. But it never works out that way. It's just on paper, it looks good, right?
On paper, yes. The amount of schedules that I've drawn, written, and got very excited about looking at, but haven't panned out that way is immense.
So what does your schedule look like? It sounds like you actually have drawn up plans and stuff.
Yeah, I started a new one, but this is just a couple of days old, so I don't know how well it'll work yet. But I find that most systems like do work. My problem is sticking to it, or I'll just forget that it exists. So this next one is a bit more of a long term thing because I'm working on a long form project again. It's easy to sort of plan out how long that will be. You know, how many assets needs to exist, how many levels are there, how many animations, etc. And that was a really good wake-up call because I realized that there are more assets to make than there are days.
Really?
Yeah. So that was a bit of a wake-up call that made sure that I make... Well, time needs to be precious. I can't take it for granted. I need to be making a certain amount every day or every week. So that means I've got more miniature deadlines now. So hopefully that will help a lot. But there's still like a full month of contingency at the end, because as you were saying before, things going wrong and reshuffling is normal. It will happen. But I need to pretend that that doesn't exist, because otherwise I will get too relaxed and be like, oh, just, you know, it'll all fill up that month. No worries. So that's the current thing. But also the standard morning and evening routines. I'm always fascinated learning about what different people do for that. Because I find that a day is sort of like made or broken right at the very start.
Yes, I agree with that completely. Because if I go in, so I have this thing, if I have the day and I start the day by playing a game, the whole day is a wash. It's just gone. And I'll just play the game and I won't be able to focus on any work after that. Same thing if I cut my lunch break with a game, it's best to just not do that and just stick with the work all the way through until the end of the day, as far as I can go. And then if I want to take a break, take a break.
Totally. My relationship with listening to videos on the side is a very interesting one. Because the best days, for sure, are the ones where that just simply doesn't happen. And I try to have a system of, listen to watch YouTube videos on the side while cooking. That's a very easy thing to multitask to, because it's a lot more tactile and not using a screen, etc. However, there are definitely days where the task is simple enough that it is fine. Like doing cleanup, for example, I can listen to stuff on the side. Usually... But that's not so much dependent on the task, but rather dependent on the mood I'm in. So sometimes I find that, I don't have enough energy to concentrate. I'll put a video on the side and choose a task that fits. But that's probably a mistake, because I'm choosing a video day because I'm not in the right mood. And therefore that means I'm not going to have enough concentration to work. And I find myself, you know, like your eye just moves to the other monitor.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. Oops, 20 minutes just happened. So I need to be very, very careful as to what days I am and am not allowed to put stuff on. But as you're saying about starting the day with a game, it is all or nothing. As soon as it's like an AA meeting, can't have just one. There's no such thing as just one video or just one scroll of a website.
Yeah. So relevant example, yesterday, my brother got me a JRPG for my birthday. And if you know Japanese role-playing games, they're very... long. They're usually 60-hour games. Anyway, so I thought I was near the end of the game, and I thought, okay, well, I'll finish up the game at lunch. This was yesterday. And I just played all the way through dinner until about 9:30 p.m.
Wow.
And I still haven't beaten the game. So the whole day, almost, I did almost nothing.
And because you haven't finished yet today, you need to make the decision to, I'd imagine the temptation to leap straight back in again must be immense. And you're like, no, I need to voluntarily wait 12 hours until I finish today's tasks.
Yeah, so today I had that thought and I had a choice. And I'm sitting here and I got close to finishing the commission I'd started yesterday, and I had a choice at that point. I said, okay, well, maybe I can play a little bit further towards the end and then come back and finish this and turn it in.
Yeah, right.
And I thought, well, maybe I could finish this, turn it in, and then play a little bit. But what ended up happening is neither of those. Instead, I just worked all day. So as long as I don't touch it, right?
Oh, well done.
Yay!
Like, I'm picturing you, like, sitting there at the desk, like, every few minutes just glancing down and just seeing the, like, the system on the table. And you're, like, tapping your fingers with, like, a bead of sweat going down.
Oh, man. No, actually, what I have on the table in front of me is that list of things to do. So I, instead of going over to play the game, I'm like, well, what little bitty things can I knock off the list? Okay, we got to do a quote and a contract. Check that off. I said I'd do a gift for my friend. Check that off, right? We're going to record the podcast. That's fun and easy. We'll just wait for that to happen. And then by the time that happens, take a shower and maybe play the game or just watch some TV. Yay!
Do you have like an evening routine as well then?
4 or 5 o'clock, I'll stop working because I have to make dinner. So I'll make dinner, we'll eat dinner, and usually by then it's 6. And at that point, I'll either take a short walk in the summer or walk on the treadmill in the winter, and then come back and just start working again until usually around 9. I try to get to 9 at least, but on, I guess, productive days, I'll just work the rest of the night from about 6 to midnight.
Okay, well, that's all right then. So you don't need to do the, like, all screens off for an hour beforehand, all those articles you see coming out?
No. I do, for a fact, know that it's hard to sleep if I don't have a break in between. I find that if I take a shower before bed, that helps me sort of unwind. So I usually do that, but only every other day. I don't need a shower every day. I'm an animator. I just sit at a desk all day.
Oh, you do here. It's like 40 degree days.
Oh, yeah.
Moment, so there's no getting around that.
Yeah, your climate's completely different.
It's pretty messy. It's like super humid today as well. So it's like 35 and raining.
Are you serious? It's 35 there? It's negative 12 here right now. Negative 20 with the wind chill.
That's one of the best things that happened to, I guess, planning your day stuff since I moved into this house, is that the limit on the hot water here seems to, like, I don't know what happens to it. It either runs out, it turns off, something happens to it after, like, 10 minutes-ish or a bit under. Because, like,
man.
Yeah, I used to have that problem of, like, I'd accidentally have half-hour showers sometimes. It was pretty bad. So something's wrong with this one, but it's an error in my favor. Because that problem is just completely fixed now.
I'd be so sad to give up my long hot showers. But that was the compromise. The compromise was, okay, you can take a 15-minute shower every day, or you can take a 30-minute shower every other day. And so that was the line.
It's just this way you can enter your Zen palace.
Well, what about you? Do you have the specific morning routine, specific end day routine? What does your setup look like?
Oh, so I keep writing them down and planning them, and it's very rare that I end up sticking to them. I know that they work. It is a discipline second, but just remembering it first. It's very easy that I just sort of forget that it exists. And the best way to remember is alarms that drag me through life, kicking
oh,
and screaming.
Oh, gosh, that sounds awful.
So... Yeah, I seem to have a pretty decent, like, long-term memory. I find myself, like, reminiscing a lot, but shocking short-term memory where I forget the consequences of things happening today. So that allows things like the dentist, for example, that will, like, I'm not putting it off because, like, I'm frightened of it, but just because making the call to do it is like, oh, you know, I'll do that later on the server, and then, oops, a month happened. So that's why I do have to be very strategic with lists and schedules and things like that, just because I can't trust my own brain in that way. It needs to be fairly linear. For getting up, the most effective system by far I've ever found is one alarm on the other side of the room and then another one in the bathroom set for a minute later. Have I mentioned that one before?
No, you have an alarm in your bathroom?
Yes. And the point of that one is that it doesn't go off. I have to get to it before it goes off because it's in like an echo chamber, right? It's going to wake up everybody.
Oh, that's nasty, man. Oh, man.
It means the snooze button can't happen because there is urgency to get there because I don't want to be rude.
I would be so mad if I had a roommate who did that and failed to get to the alarm. I mean...
Well, that's the point, isn't it? Because like we're more likely to... You know, we don't want to let other people down more than we're willing to let ourselves down. Or at least that's the case for me. I don't care if I, like, sleep in or turn the alarm off. But I don't want to bother someone else.
That's a very aggressive planning tactic.
Well, it's the same as like working in a group project. You know, you meet a deadline because it's for somebody, where it's easy to put off a self-imposed deadline because it's only for yourself. It's the same sort of deal, but sort of just bolting it into other areas of life. And I don't think there's been a single day where that system hasn't worked. But the problem with it is it also relies on a consistent evening routine to work as well, because it has to be set up the night before. It has to be set up every time, because you can't just have the alarm to be automatic every day, because I need to actively go and switch it off before it happens. So that means remembering to switch it on again before the next day, and that often doesn't happen.
So before you took the time to work on the game and you had a regular job to go to, what was the routine like then, for especially when you're still trying to make onion skin videos?
Well, especially that double alarm system was crucial. Otherwise, I would just be late to the office job.
Wow.
Yeah, sleeping is a problem. So that worked. That worked well.
Right. But you still, at that time, were making little tutorials and things. So where in your day did you put time to do that? Or is it just kind of like random?
Okay, no, that's a good question. Because during the last year, at least, I found myself getting like really stoked and super into a lot of different scheduling systems and just like general self-improvement stuff. Like I was reading a lot about that. And all of it was, as I realize this now, all of it was geared around finding the perfect daily routine in order to like shave out that little 30 to 60 minutes to work on a personal thing somewhere. Is it in the morning? Is it in the evening? Is it just a little bit of both? And since going solo again, I've noticed that enthusiasm for improvement has somewhat gone away, because now there are many half hours throughout the day and you know, they're less precious now. So I need to somehow get that back in again, where every half hour is like crucial. You know, like having a half hour train ride was just kind of like, oh man, like, you know, I'm on the train for an hour a day. Like that sucks. It's so much time. So I moved closer to work. So it's like, oh, now I only have to walk. So that's the next, you know, how much extra time to the day. And the first month that was really cool. And I did notice more getting done around the house. But then that sense of newness goes away and it all just sort of becomes normal again. So now I do sort of wonder where that time goes, and the day now just goes by really, really fast. If it's a productive day, if it's not a productive day, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. It just suddenly becomes 6 o'clock and I procrastinate making dinner because I feel like I need to do more before I'm allowed to eat.
Oh man. Well, yeah, I guess it helps that in my case, if I don't make dinner, my husband comes home and we're both starving. So it's not like it's just me. I feel like the routine would be jeopardized quite a bit if it was just me. Like, I'm again, it's the obligations to other people. So this is starting to sound like maybe the theme is somehow tie in the work where you have deadlines for other people. Like, this podcast happens because we're both accountable to each other.
Yeah, I've not missed one because of that, but all my other projects can't say the same.
And a lot of my projects, like here, they're all commissions. And so I always say 2 weeks, unless I'm backed up with some big project. So that stuff has to get done. But it's funny, because on the personal projects, again, there's no accountability except for now with the built-in YouTube audience that I have. There is accountability, because if I don't do anything, people will say, well, hey, where's Scribble Kibble? Where is that? You know, when's the next episode coming out? Are you going to feature this? Are you going to talk about that? So again, being responsible, not just to yourself.
Well, yeah, that was the really funny thing with my videos as well, because I was able to make a lot in a very short amount of time, because the accountability there was partially the audience, but more that I had a streak of daily videos going for like 2 months. And I was like, oh, I don't want to break that streak. And if I miss one day, then it's like, okay, you know, that's all right. You know, get back up on the horse again sort of thing. But after the Christmas break, where that was 2 weeks of nothing, I haven't made any since. I think it's partially because the streak broke, but also because no one watches my videos anyway, so there wasn't really the consequence of people saying, hey, where is this?
Right. And then you also, though, thought about how that wasn't really what you wanted to be doing, not frantically putting out videos that nobody was going to watch, I guess.
Well, I'm cool doing that if it's beneficial to you know, if people are finding that useful.
Oh, well, yeah.
But if no one's watching them, then no one's finding it useful. So, you know, I'm sort of just exerting myself for no one's benefit, really.
Right, and the whole purpose of the year off was to work on the game.
Exactly, and if 90% of the time was going into YouTube videos no one was watching, and I wasn't making the game, then it wasn't really the right direction. So I think this year I'm just going to shift it back a little bit to less videos, but put more effort into them, making sure that there's stuff that really needs to exist, as opposed to lots and lots of little things that are okay to exist.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of funny, too, because scheduling-wise, making sure that you're spending the time on what's important is as crucial as, you know, spending time on something. Because you can find yourself spending a bunch of time on something, but it's not what you want to be spending time on. Like, you know, making a bunch of short, low-quality videos when what you really want to be doing is this other thing.
That's a very good point because, you know, that flow state we were talking about, I reckon that can be a double-edged sword because sometimes you can get immersed into a very productive 12-hour day. But what if it's on the wrong task and it doesn't get used? That happens to me quite a lot. Like when I did bring the channel back, I completely rebranded it and it took me an entire week to do so. Was that necessary? I don't know. Maybe it even contributed a bit to the viewership dip because everything looked different. Either way, I definitely should have only spent like a couple of days on it, not like 8 days. That was ridiculous.
That's funny, because I did the same thing with Scribble Kibble, and we have yet to see, by the time this airs, we'll probably have seen the results, but I have yet to see if there are any results, and that was months of work rebranding, probably for no reason. I mean, I can already tell now, and I'll call it now, I don't think it was worth the time. I think if I just stuck with the old art, as much as it bothered me, see, that's the problem, though, it bothered me.
Yeah.
So I changed it. I don't think I wanted to keep doing the series if I was going to keep just reusing the old artwork. So, I guess it had to happen.
No, I agree. Rebranding's fun. Like, I felt very stale that I'd had the exact same look for 3 years or more. And I've seen that happen tons of times where someone will spend a ridiculous amount of time changing their entire look and then it gets abandoned, like, straight away. Like, you only see that look in, like, 2 or 3 videos, then it changes again. It's pretty common.
That's I don't think I'm going to be changing it again, but I definitely am a little bit burnt out. So we'll see how this season goes, I guess.
Maybe the take home with that is focus on the content first, and then when something sticks, slowly adjust the branding to fit it.
Yeah, which I did, but it was time for a complete rehaul, at least of the character. What else did I wanted to say about scheduling? The weird thing to me is that you try things and they work, but then you get bored of them. So it's almost like your schedule has to be a constantly a big revolving door of techniques.
That's actually kind of true. One of the best things I found in the last couple of years is using a physical book over like an app or whatever, because a book allows you to change shape. Like every other week, it'll have a different interface and a different look. So one of the things that's helped keep me consistent is just the very act of mixing it up. It's almost like some sort of weird get-rich-quick scheme or get-out-of-jail-free card. Like, what's the secret formula that will just suddenly make me super focused all the time? But I don't think it works that way.
Yeah, there isn't one. But it's funny because I had a similar obsession a couple of years ago. I was just really obsessed with efficiency. To be honest, I don't think I mind that the days aren't quote unquote are productive all the time. That's not really what life is about. It's not this insane race to be the most efficient, to be spending every single minute as productively as possible. I mean, I don't know.
What's a lot more effective, it seems, is just doing the absolute minimum every day.
Oh, yes. Yeah, doing something, right?
Doing something. And there's a couple of really good stories about that. Like a mate of mine, Greg, he's very good at that. He's had this system where it's like a, you know, like study flashcards?
Yeah.
Like an app version of that, except it's got reference material on it. So different, because he's a scenery artist, so it's got different objects and textures and things just to practice something to do with backgrounds every day. So it will randomly shuffle, it'll present him a thing, And because it's a study card system, if it's something that he's well practiced at, it sort of goes to the back of the pile, so it doesn't show up very often. And if it's something he's struggling with, then it comes up more regularly. But I think he's kept it up every day for like 3 years now.
It gets to be a reflex at that point. You just do it and don't even think about it.
It does. But what's really cool is the extent to what he's gone to make sure that there hasn't been a single missed day no matter what. Because, you know, problems happen. You might spend the entire day on a plane. You might be away. You might be ill. So I think some days it had been down to just quickly doing a small sketch on a napkin. And there's another really good example. It's like a video lecture. You might have heard of Blender Guru before.
Mm-mm.
He's a YouTuber, teaches Blender. But there's this really cool lecture that he did talking about wanting to learn how to do digital painting, like concept art stuff. So the way he pulled that off was just by doing the bare minimum of one line a day. And making the decision to simply get started was much harder than the task itself. And there had been many times where it was like, okay, all I got to do is one line. And then he would end up spending 45 minutes to an hour doing something. The act of getting started is by far the hardest part.
What you're talking about, I've heard of before. There's, I guess, I don't even know what we call it, a motivational speaker, but he's written a bunch of books. His name's Seth Godin, and he writes about, like, how to get things done. So there's a book behind me called Lynchpin. One of the things he talks about, it's called drip theory, basically, which is instead of trying to do this whole huge project all at once, you just do a little bit at a time. So a great example of that is I did a single comic every single week. And when you do that for 5 years, you have a book at the end of it.
Yeah,
so
I guess you're right.
If you were able to do one asset for the game every day or like two, and you might end up doing two because you sat down to do one, right?
Well, that is how I've scheduled it, yeah.
So that's the idea, a little bit at a time. Anyway, the book is really good.
I got a personal example of that back when I first started professionally and I was really like under the pump, like worried. If I was going to, because it was sort of like the probationary period still, so it could have gone either way as to whether or not I would have gotten my first job. So it was quite intense. And I was shading a Cyberman collapsing. His body was disintegrating. And it was I had its cleanup done. It needed four-tone shading, though, which is pretty intense when it's frame by frame. I think I shaded the first frame and it was sort of working through the rest of it, putting it all in. And I definitely overdid it. Like there was so much detail. And when you're doing four-tone shading, like you underestimate that every stroke you got to commit to that, for, you know, 100 drawings or so. And it was a real grind getting through it, especially feeling very insecure and unconfident if it was going to be good enough in the end. Like what if, you know, do this whole thing and then it gets rejected, you know? So I started to adopt a similar mindset to what you're thinking about. I treated it like a collect-a-thon, you know, like an old N64, like a Banjo-Kazooie type game, where I was like, okay, every frame or like every piece, I was sort of like collecting it. So it's just like, oh, you know, I've collected all the leg now, because like I'd done the leg through the whole thing, or I'd get bored of like focusing on one part and like just draw an entire frame. It's like, oh, I've collected all of frame 57. And I was wondering if this would be like, oh, is this a system I've just like discovered I'm going to use forever? No, I only did it for that one shot because that was like a death learning curve. I think it took me like a week and a half to do that one shot. So I think I got pretty heavily grilled for it because it was like, okay, the work is good, but far too slow. So I was like, oh no. The next one, I took everything I learned and I did it in an hour and a half. And it was like a similar length. And so I was like, okay, that's a pretty staggering difference.
Jeez, how was the difference that big?
I just had enough practice at that point to know where to and where not to put in detail. Because, you know, like I'd watch the final thing back and be like, oh man, there's like a full day's worth of work that just zips by so fast you don't even see it. Oh, I guess I just won't put that kind of thing in then. And you don't, and no one cares.
So I don't know what we're going to talk about next. We haven't picked yet.
Should we have a quick look at the spreadsheet before we turn it off? What's at the bottom? Original characters, jealousy, burnout, nostalgia. That's one we've been putting off for a while.
Yeah, we've been putting off nostalgia for a long time.
Is 2D dead?
Should you go to art school? We should just rip on art school for 30 minutes.
I feel like that would be a good one to bring a guest in who has gone to art school, so we can have a bit more of a balanced discussion.
That sounds like a plan. All right. Roulette topic next week.
Roulette topic. All right. Take care.